Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Susanne Bier won the Academy Award for directing in A Better World, the best foreign language film of 2010. Now she's drawing sensational reviews for directing and executive producing The Night Manager, AMC's acclaimed miniseries, and her first TV assignment, part two of which premieres tomorrow night. Susanne Bier joins me next live from Copenhagen, Denmark, in an internet radio exclusive. After a decade of showcasing new television creators, the New York Television Festival is now producing new television. The Jams, a comedy about life inside a Chicago radio station. Co-stars, creators, executive producers Jim Cosra and Chris Petlak chime in later this hour from that Midwest metroland. Also ahead, Underground and Twin Peaks on Solid Ground, Full Screen Goes TV Screen, The National Enquirer's new tube play, and our classic trivia question of the week. And trust me, it's about a classic. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the hour. Happy to have you with us for the program All About Television, and happy Thursday of Passover to all of you celebrating that holiday up and down the line. 64 degrees at the top of the hour. Wonderful hour in store for you. Great guests along the way from Chicago and across the pond in the Atlantic. So stick around. We got a great one for you, and it gets better when you are involved. So if you have a question or comment for any of our guests in the next hour, you ring it at 646-652-2906. At 646-652-2906. That number is good anyway. Your text is across the country or around the world right here on Blog Talk Radio. We've got our chat room going at blogtalkradio.com as well. That's Simon Apple 04 by name, and it is just waiting for you. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people can be live with you. We will have news notes after the bottom of the hour, but right now, joining us live from Copenhagen, Denmark, where it's just past 9 p.m. local time, the Oscar-winning director and executive producer of The Night Manager, Susanne Bier. Susanne, congratulations and welcome aboard.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be on your show.
It is a pleasure, Susanne. What are you thinking about getting all the rave reviews that you are getting for The Night Manager?
I keep thinking I'm going to wake up from this wonderful dream, but then I wake up and it's real. It's really wonderful.
I mean, the level of acclaim you're getting, when you have reviewers say near perfect, sensational, riveting, inspiring, the best adaptation of a spy novel ever, much less a master like John le Carré, what goes through your mind?
I just kind of, you know, it's just fantastic. It's great. You work so hard and you so much love all the performances, and then the rest of the world feel the same, and it's so rewarding and utterly satisfying, and it just makes me incredibly happy.
And maybe the ultimate of all this is your first television of any kind.
It is.
Because you've done film
it
all
is.
Your life. Why did you decide, I'm going to do television now, and I'm going to do television with a miniseries, and I'm going to do it adapting a great novel like The Night Manager?
Well, you just said it. You know, I'm going to adapt the great novel, John le Carré, fantastic cast, Hugh Laurie, Tom Hiddleston. And it was really fun for me to try to do 6 hours as opposed to 2 hours, which is a normal length feature film. And also, I, like everyone else, have been enjoying television the last few years. And you know, it's just the whole thing that you can get into depth with characters. It's just that.
It seems that John le Carré's adaptations, whether for movies or for television, have a great track record. I still think of Richard Burton's chilling portrayal in The Spy Who Came In From the Cold back in the mid-1960s. Some people thought he should have won the Academy Award for that role, one of his very best. And then you have Alec Guinness with his wonderful miniseries work in Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, and Smiley's People. And it just seems that he's one of those authors where you can't be anything but successful adapting his work. Do you feel that way? And if so, why?
I think every one of us involved in this, the thing we were mostly striving for was for John le Carré not to to be disappointed. We all wanted him to be happy with the adaptation. And it was almost like, I think that was, for everyone involved, that was like almost the most important thing. Because his novels are such, they are like basic thrillers. They are super exciting, and they have this sort of, those stories that just keep you riveted from the beginning to the end, but they are also deeply psychological. And you want that combination of those two elements when you make an adaptation. And that's what we were really, really aiming at that. And we are so happy that he's proud of it and that he really enjoys it.
Well, yeah, what did he say? What feedback did he give you?
He wrote a wonderful letter to The Guardian, the British newspaper Guardian, talking about the adaptations of his work and saying that this was an incredibly satisfying adaptation, and it was sort of on the level with the 70s version of Tinker Tailor, the 70s TV version of Tinker Tailor, which is like legendary. So that was a real accolade to be proud of.
Did you, once you got the assignment to direct this, did you talk with him about any ideas or any approaches he had to how to adapt his work?
Oh, yes. Yes, he was pretty involved. He also has a little camera, which you will see in a later episode. But he was pretty involved. I mean, he was reading. He came to the read-through. And I also had quite a few conversations about how an agent and the person who handles the agent, an agent is sent into the field, and there's somebody behind from the organization who's handling this agent, how this relationship actually works. And he, having been a proper spy himself and having actually worked in the field, knew in detail about everything. And it was incredibly educational and also a whole lot of fun because he's so witty and smart and funny. So it was just hugely exciting and entertaining to deal with him in that sort of very professional way.
We're speaking live from Copenhagen, Denmark, with Suzanne Beer. She is the Oscar-winning director of the best foreign language film of 2010, In a Better World, and now she is winning raves for directing, executive producing The Night Manager. It's AMC's acclaimed miniseries, and part two of that series is on tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on AMC. Suzanne joins us live from Copenhagen, Denmark, an Internet Radio exclusive interview right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, across the other side of the Atlantic, 64 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Suzanne? You make the call and ring it in, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Broadway is at the height of its current season. Tony Awards will be announced soon. And now there is a new programming service that allows you to see great Broadway shows on Chromecast and Apple TV. It's called Broadway HD. And we will have the Broadway producers who put that together, Bonnie Connolly and Stuart Lane, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised next Friday. That's this Friday, actually. 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, our regular time period. Also on the program, the co-stars of the new DirecTV Audience Network series, You, Me, Her, Rachel Blanchard and Priscilla Fyre. They were scheduled to be on today, could not make it. We have rescheduled them for this Friday's episode. So join us with the folks from Broadway HD and Rachel Blanchard and Priscilla Fyre, the co-stars of DirecTV and Audience Network's You, Me, Her. They call it the first polyromantic comedy. We'll have them all for you Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. For you, what was the big challenge of putting The Night Manager together and establishing the kind of mood you wanted?
Challenge is about an agent, Jonathan Pine, played by Tom Hiddleston, who is being sent in to the world of the worst man in the world, who is played by Hugh Laurie. And Hugh Laurie is incredibly, he's the worst man in the world, but he's also the most charming man in the world. And he's incredibly wealthy and lives this very lavish lifestyle. And the biggest challenge was for us to, because Jonathan Pine eventually gets seduced by the world of the worst man in the world. And the whole intriguing thing, is he going to be corrupted or is he going to stick to his mission? And so the biggest challenge was to introduce this wonderful, lavish, sexy world and actually wanting to be seduced by it while maintaining the knowledge that this is actually a very, very dangerous and pretty evil world. And that balance, hitting that balance, was the biggest challenge of all the challenges.
And the villain here, as played by Laurie, is a different kind of villain than what you find in most of the Carré novels, because usually it's not a roguish kind of character. It's a very lovable, I'm evil kind of person, but I can charm the heck out of you. It's more a very secretive, clandestine, super undercover kind of mole, if you will. How the fact that Laurie treated the role that way, how did that impact how you directed them?
Well, the thing is, Hugh Laurie is so charming. As you, everybody who's watched House or now have been watching Veep, he's so super, super charming. So, but he's got this sort of steely side, and he turns that steely side into viciousness. You don't want to cross him. You know he will stop at nothing. And in this series, he stops at nothing. He becomes so incredibly dangerous that you still want to be friends with him. You still want to hang out with him. You still want to come to his dinners and holiday at his island, because he's also so seductive. And having that balance has just been incredibly exciting.
And on the flip side of the coin, we have the hero, Jonathan Pine, who's a former soldier for the British Army. And he's sort of walking a fine line here, as some of the best Le Carré characters are, which is, you want to do good, you want to get to the bottom of things, you want to get to the truth, but you don't want to end up being a criminal yourself. And that's what he gets into, because in addition to facing Laurie character, he has to face a couple of his hench people and a girlfriend from one of the hench people that try to tip him toward a life of crime.
Well, he is, I mean, Jonathan Pine, the hero of the series, is quite enigmatic. And we do sense that he's been through some pretty bad things. And we do sense that he's very capable of going to a dark place. And he's also very capable of doing what it takes to get things right. And in this particular case, it does take what most of us probably wouldn't do. He's not like a lot of John le Carré's characters. He's not an easily read character. He's morally sort of slightly secretive, and he's very honorable actually, but you aren't quite sure where you have him.
Mm-hmm. How did your TV directing style evolve from your film directing style? Well, what kind of adapting or changes did you have to do, if any, to sort of work with the pace of putting a TV miniseries together?
Well, I don't really think that it has changed. I actually think it's quite a cinematic piece of television, and very consciously so, because I think in order to tell this particular story, it needed to be a very seductive world. And for a world to be seductive at this point in television, it needs to be quite cinematic. So I didn't feel it was different. I think the only thing which was really, really different was that I had a chance to deal with 6 hours as opposed to 2 hours, and it actually gives a lot of scope for having characters which would be very minor in a feature film are now quite rich and quite layered and quite interesting. And it's a little bit like the difference between dealing with a huge big novel and a short story. And a short story, you need to be accurate, and it needs to be quite sort of precise and beautiful because it's precise. And with a huge big novel, you can allow yourself the richness of the layering. And that has been incredibly challenging and incredibly fun to do.
One critic noted that even with the layering, that it looked like you were also trying to make the narrative very purposeful, have some momentum, be as unique in pace as possible, as well as that clandestine layering of the characters and the world that they are creating and getting into. Is that a correct understanding that you were trying to drive for a particular purpose?
Yeah. I definitely felt it had to have a pace and it had to have a thrillerish momentum. And it does. It has a lot of pace. It's not like it's just that it and I really enjoy that pace. I'm a rather impatient person, so in a way, I think it kind of comes natural. And I'm also quite impatient when I watch television myself. I don't like slow television. I do like that it has an energy and that the story takes you to places where you don't really expect it will go. But it doesn't do it by selling out on the psychology. It actually does it by enriching the psychology, and that's very much what John Le Carré is about.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I want to welcome guest 1012 into our chat room. Simon Apple 04, my name. So if you have a question or comment, our guest that just went to the room, put it in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. You also have some women in this miniseries. One is played by Olivia Colman, who plays sort of the operative that Jonathan Pine works with, who's getting very good reviews for that performance. And also Elizabeth Debicki, who plays the girlfriend of Major Cochran, sort of the second in command under Laurie, played by Tom Hollander. I'm curious how you approach dealing with the female characters and dealing with female actors for this particular, given that for the most part, a lot of Le Carré's most memorable characters are male. So I'm curious how you handle the female side of things.
Well, the thing is, actually, the part that Olivia Colman plays, what is in the novel, is a man. And when the series was updated, which it is, the novel was written in 1993, and when it was decided that the series was going to be made, we wanted to update it, and we wanted to change that character of Burr into a woman. And Olivia Colman was the first actress who we even spoke about. And on our very first meeting, she told me that she was pregnant. And I went, that's very interesting for the character, because firstly, originally the character was a man, and now it's a woman, and now it's suddenly a pregnant woman. And I thought it was fantastic for the character. And then, of course, the producers had to deal with some insurance issue, because we've been filming all over. We've been on so many locations. It was quite like a grueling shoot, but it all worked out, and it's a there's a real sort of profound danger to this character, her being a pregnant woman.
Part two of The Night Manager on AMC premieres tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Pacific time. It's a 6-part miniseries based on the wonderful novel by Jean Le Carré, and it is getting raved all over, not just the United States, but in England, where it premiered a few months ago, became one of the most popular series in that country. Incidentally, The Night Manager is going to be seen in more than 180 countries, including, and this is a rarity for an English-language series, China. We have got the Academy Award-winning director of The Night Manager with us, Suzanne Beer. She joins us live from Copenhagen, Denmark, on Tomorrow We Televise. Simon Appleband with you live from New York. You have a question or comment for Suzanne? Don't be shy. Use your voice and use this phone number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. And our very good friend, Rick Webb from Philadelphia, now in the room. Suzanne, has this experience encouraged you to do more television?
It has, yes. I'd love to do more television. And I'd love to, you know, it's so interesting. I was now told this afternoon that 30 million viewers have seen The Night Manager, the first episode of The Night Manager in China. I mean, it's just like amazing doing something which immediately have so many viewers. It's just so exciting.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the miniseries, where does it go from here in terms of your directing style? What do you think we should be watching for as we go into part two, part three, now that the characters have been established?
I want to say that it actually gets more and more exciting. You know, it's funny, you know, we just went, when we tested them, people were, yeah, we really loved one. And then they went, oh, wow, how, you know, it gets better. And because the story, once you get into the depth of the intrigue, once Jonathan Pine sort of gets himself into the world of Rover, it just gets so incredibly scary and thrilling that I had a few friends who said no, I had to go away and come back because it was too scary, which is quite nice.
Mm-hmm. Is AMC, first of all, there has been rumors, unsubstantiated at this point, that there may be because of the success in England and here and elsewhere, that there may be a second miniseries or a sequel to The Night Manager. Is that true? What have you heard?
Look, here's the thing. I'm not ordering series. I'm not in a position. I'm like a director doing it. I would love to do a second season. And I think it would be great if there were done a second season. But you need to speak to people who are actually ordering series. You need to call up the executive at AMC and BBC and tell them that you think it's a great idea.
Has John Le Carré expressed any thoughts about this in public, about the idea of maybe taking another one of his novels and making it a second Night Manager?
I mean, no, I think of course it's sort of tempting. Nothing is in the works. So speak to whoever is in charge of it, because I can't really say anything else.
Well, let's say AMC, Charlie Collier, the head of AMC, or Joel Silverman, the head of programming, came to you and said, "Suzanne, we love your work. Congratulations." And all right, we want to do another program, either a regular series or a mini series with you. What would you like to do? Is there a particular work or an idea for series you want?
I'd love to do more John Le Carré. Here's the thing. I would love to do more spy stuff. I think it's so much fun. But I mean, as a director, there's always this sort of surprise in what suddenly intrigues you, and then you need to pursue that. But anything most be happy to do.
Mm-hmm. It seems that every now and then a spy or an espionage drama, brings our attention. I got to go back to and film what Richard Burton did in The Spy Who Came In from the Cold.
Yes, I love that film.
But also, I remember in the 1960s, we had this great succession of British dramas from the likes of ITC, shows like The Saint with Roger Moore, The Baron with Steve Forrest, Man of Suitcase, Secret Agent with Patrick McGoohan as John Drake. It seems that maybe now is the time to do maybe more spy programming, because it seems the audience, thanks to this program, is back and ready for it.
I think so. I think there is I think it sort of talks to everything which is going on at this point in time. And there are so many great, I mean, there are lots of great spy writers. And I think the whole thing that we feel that, all our secrets are ready to be revealed. How do we guard them? That whole thing that, which is so, at this point in time, so relevant. I think that is because of that, spies are so appealing, because it deals in that layer of what can we trust, what can we not trust, who is he really, who he thinks he is. And so I think it's incredibly timely.
Mm-hmm. One more thing before I let you go. What was it like working with David Farr, who wrote the series?
He was great. It was great. I mean, it just, I want to say that, the word serendipity comes true in this particular case. Everybody involved and everybody, we were all working on the same show. I think at times people have different visions and it's always complicated. With this show, we all sort of had the same vision and we were all working towards the same goal. And I think that's probably why, in general, the reviews have been so positive and the reception have been this positive, is because, there is a lot of consistency to it.
Mm-hmm. Also, has it hit upon you that in a way you've also broken through in terms of the fact that when we think of the spy genre, we think men direct, men write, men produce, and you may be the first woman who has directed a major project of this kind. Has that ever hit you that in a way you may be opening up the door for more women to direct this kind of programming?
I really certainly hope so. I really hope. I mean, the thing is, women are capable of a way more diverse field of topics to direct than traditionally. And I really hope that if this is going to open doors for more women, I couldn't be happier. That's really what I want to do.
Part 2 of The Night Manager premieres tomorrow night, 10 p.m. East Pacific Time on AMC. Check your local listings for where AMC is available in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, worldwide, here's where you go, www.amctv.com. It's www.amctv.com. And once again, the Night Manager is going to be playing ultimately in more than 180 countries around the world, and currently including China. Suzanne Beer, the Oscar-winning director and executive producer of The Night Manager, thank you very much for taking the time, prime time, your time to be with us. Congratulations on the reviews, and I have a very good hunch that you, the series, Tom, Hugh, everybody involved, are going to be big contenders come Emmy Award time this fall.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me as your guest.
It is a pleasure, Suzanne. All the greatest. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Suzanne Beer, the Oscar-winning director of The Night Manager, joining us live in an interview-exclusive interview from Copenhagen, Denmark. More tomorrow's televised will come your way in a moment, but right now some words from the folks at Audible.com. If you love the wonderful actress Thandie Newton, you haven't heard that she is doing a wonderful performance now for Audible.com. She is playing one of the great characters in all literature, Jane Eyre. And you can get that performance free. How? Subscribe with a 30-day trial to audibletrial.com/televised. That's audible.com. It's, if you don't know about it, it's the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and yes, inspiration, with over 180,000 titles to choose from. Guess what? You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now. Plus, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, that's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook. And if you want to choose Thandie Newton playing Jane Eyre, absolutely. If you want Charlie Rose and some of his best interviews from PBS and Bloomberg Television, absolutely too. And you not only get that one book, you get 1 month trial service. Check it out. See if you like it. If you do, I believe it's under $15 a month. And with Amazon.com being the owner of Audible.com, you know the customer service is dynamite. So get your free trial, your free audiobook. How? AudibleTrial.com/televised. Check it out. AudibleTrial.com/televised. And then hear some of the best sound around. Audible.com, an Amazon company. And now it's time for our regular feature, the Classic Trivia Question of the Week. And if you are listening and you are first with the correct answer, you can win the wonderful book by John Wilder, the acclaimed TV writer, producer of the shows The Streets of San Francisco, Spencer for Hire, and the miniseries Classic Centennial. It's Nobody Dies in Hollywood. It's published by Balcony 7. And if you're listening, you're first with the answer to the question coming up, you can win. One of the great classic television programs of all time is Marty. It appeared on the Philco Goodyear Television Playhouse in 1953. Rod Steiger was the star, and it then became, about 2 years later, a wonderful film that won the Oscar Best Picture, the first TV drama to do so, with Ernest Borgnine's memorable performance in the title role. Our question is this. Who was Marty's girlfriend? The girl, the woman I should say, that Marty fell in love with at that ballroom dance. Who was Marty's girlfriend? The first name of the character. That's what we're looking for. So again, if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Please enclose your name and your email address and your mailing address. Again, if you're first to the correct answer, you win Nobody Dies in Hollywood. We also, if you're new to our program, we give you the option to tweet the answer. Use Twitter and this hashtag, TWBT. That's Twitter, hashtag TWBT. That option is made available by the wonderful people at Hopscotch. The folks invite all of you to create your own social soundtrack. You can learn how from Marty Monaco and his crew at www.hopscotch.com. That's www.hopscotch.com. So now you have two ways to play and two ways to win. Email simonapple04@yahoo.com and Twitter, hashtag TWBT. If you just came in and you just missed the question, no problem. I'll post it tomorrow morning on my Facebook page and also my own Twitter hashtag at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, you've got to be in it to win it, so do so. And all the best. You are listening to Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program All About the Two. We're with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Coming your way this Friday on our show, we've got the two Broadway producers who are now sweeping the country through Chromecast and Apple TV with Broadway HD, the great new visual way to get Broadway shows and a whole lot more. Bonnie Connolly and Stuart Lane will be our guests from Broadway HD. Also, rescheduled from today, the co-stars of the new DirecTV Audience Network series, You, Me, Her, described as TV's first polyromantic comedy, co-stars Rachel Blatcher and Priscilla Faya. That's Rachel Blatcher, Priscilla Faya, joining the folks from Broadway HD live Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. You join them too, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. We have a lot of great guests coming this March and April on our show. And if you want to check out the episodes we've done over the last 2 months and a whole lot more, you can go 24/7 to our homepage. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Coming up our next half hour, a lot of news notes to get to, and then we go live to Chicago ILL to speak with the co-stars, creators, and executive producers of the New York Television Festival's first original production on their own, The Jams. It's currently running on iTunes, but this Saturday it begins to run on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Jim Cosgrove and Chris Petlap join me from Chicago when we pause, after we pause the bottom of the hour, for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world there every month and growing. It's your home for one of the wildest shows on radio, and it happens in a few hours. The Key of D Unplugged Show. Great conversation, great music, and a whole lot more. Check out the Key of D crew tonight, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, you can always get the best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com, and check out the iTunes podcast app on Apple TV 2.0, where you can watch and hear our show and other Blog Talk Radio programs in podcast form anytime. That's Apple TV 2.0's iTunes podcast app. Welcome back to Tomorrow Will Be Televised this Monday afternoon. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. Happy to have you aboard. 64 degrees at the top of the hour. In a few minutes, we will head out to Chicago, and we will check out live at Chicago radio station with the new comedy, The Jams, with its co-creators, stars, and executive producers. But first, news notes. Underground has been given a second season at WGN America. The highly praised drama about the Underground Railroad will get 10 new episodes for play in 2017. John Legend is among the executive producers. Twin Peaks has wrapped principal photography on its Showtime revival next year. David Lynch directed all the episodes, plus co-wrote them with Peaks co-creator Mark Frost. Returnees from the classic ABC series include Kyle MacLachlan, Alicia Witt, and Harry Dean Stanton. Laura Dern, Ashley Judd, Ernie Hudson, Naomi Watts, and Jim Belushi are among the new cast members. Fullscreen will launch a 24/7 video probing service tomorrow on Chromecast. The service will mix movies with original series, be advertising free, and cost users $4.99 a month. The new content includes Electra Woman and Diner Girl, the Seven Marty Croft series revival with YouTube stars Grace Helbig and Hannah Hart, teen drama spoof Thirsty Pretty Teens, and docuseries My Selfie Life. And the National Enquirer will co-produce a new Investigate series on Reels Channel starting May 28th. Various celebrity scandals will explore from Whitney Houston to O.J. Simpson. The Weinstein Company's unscripted unit is a co-producer. Once again, National Enquirer Investigates will premiere on Reels Channel May 28th. And that is news notes for today. From the start of this program in 2007, we have covered the progress of the New York Television Festival, the first event of its kind that showcases independent TV makers making pilots that could be, ultimately, TV shows under their tutelage. And over the years, we have showcased some of the people who have participated in the festival, and now the festival is not only getting shows that they've showcased on the air, like Animals on HBO and Late Night on Fridays, but now they are actually producing new independent voices through their original productions unit that was started last year. And earlier this month, the first original production from that unit went on through iTunes. It's called The Jams. It's a comedy about life at a Chicago radio station. And on April 30th, this Saturday, that program expands to smart TV sets and smart TV devices. Join us live from Chicago in another internet radio exclusive, the co-stars, creators, and executive producer of The Jams, Jim Cosgrove and Chris Petlap. Jim and Chris, welcome in.
Hey. Hello. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, both of you. Jim, we'll start with you. What's been the early reaction from the iTunes folks to your series?
Oh, I mean, it's first of all, it's been fantastic. My parents and older relatives have been instructed as to how to use iTunes, so that's the first step. But no, we've had a lot of good friends who liked it, and who we have 48 very positive reviews and climbing. So we're excited. For a while, we were in the top 10 TV seasons for comedy, which was which is an honor. It was right between Fresh Prince and Bewitched. So we've got competition, but we're up to it.
And Chris, this is not only a breakthrough for both of you, but it's also a breakthrough for the New York Television Festival. It is their first produced television series. What's it been like to be aboard such a groundbreaking project?
Yeah, it's been wonderful. All the folks from the NYTVF have been so supportive and helpful in helping us shape this world that we created, that we submitted to the festival originally, and then expanding it, obviously, to what it is now. So it's been a real pleasure working with them, and we're big, strong believers in the NYTVF and the opportunities that they allow for indie filmmakers and indie television filmmakers to find.
Jim, tell me about how you and Chris came up with the idea of the series. I know when people hear Live at Chicago Radio or Live at the Radio Station, they immediately think WKRP in Cincinnati. Was that an influence?
No, it wasn't. Chris and I met doing an improv show together and decided that we very much wanted to. We had a good improv chemistry, and so we wanted to do another project together. So we decided we were going to do a web series, and thought about what locations we had access to. Every struggling actor and every struggling writer likes to do a web series about struggling actors and struggling writers, and they all take place in their apartment. And we thought, what if we branched out? And so Chris works at a radio station, and it was one of the locations that we thought about. So we sort of did it inside out, where we wrote the series, we retrofitted the original web series based on what the coolest looking location was. And then we went in and filmed 20 episodes of 3 minutes each of Chris and I being these overnight DJs who just, you know, frequently have their show fall off the rails and talk about whatever they talk about. And they're trying as hard as they can to get listeners, but they're on from midnight to five. So it was that. It was an excuse for Chris and I to get together and do more comedy set within whatever setting looked the best that we had access to.
And finally, to all of our listeners, you have a question or comment to Jim or Chris, give us a ring. 646-652-2906 is the number to use. That's 646-652-2906. And as always, that number is good anywhere you're catching us, whether you're across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio. We got a chat room going too at blogtalkradio.com. It's Simon Apple 04 by name. Guest 1025 has just joined the room. Rick Webb, our good friend from Philadelphia, who may be calling in before this half hour is up, also still in the room. So get involved. Be on the phone, be in the room. Either way, we hear you because what you say matters. Chris, how long did it take for you and Jim to flesh out this series as a series as opposed to a web series?
Sure, yeah. So we found out in October of 2014 at the festival that year in the New York Television Festival that we had been selected for the development deal with The Orchard and the NYTVF production arm. So from October of 2014, we were working on scripts and building out the world, and then we started principal photography in April of 2015. So it was about a little over, 6 months? That it took us to create the world a little, expand the world, write the characters, and then write the episodes. And we also worked with Joe Scott and Jeff Murdoch, who are two NYTVF alums that wrote the third episode. And we were lucky enough, the NYTVF found Ted Tremper, who was also an NYTVF alum, and he directed the series. And he was really great helping us flush out some final ideas the few weeks leading into filming. So it was a process right up until cameras rolling.
And then Ted went off to work at The Daily Show. So we like to say that we launched Ted's career.
Exactly.
What do all of you want to say about life in radio and life in Chicago at the same time?
Well, Chris talked to radio, and I'll talk to Chicago.
Yeah, I think there's a line in the pilot episode where we say it took about 20 years for this opportunity in radio to open in an industry that has about 10 years left, which is sort of an inside joke with us. But the idea that radio is still very much a large arm of the media world, and we thought it'd be really interesting to take kind of a millennial-type look at the world of radio and realize that it's still very important, it's still very relevant, and also it's a great workplace to sort of frame a comedy around. So we're really excited about that aspect of it. And then also, of course, being able to work in the various characters throughout the day parts of a radio station just really opens up a world, a lot of fun.
And as far as Chicago goes, I mean, this is a show that we try as hard as we can to make as authentically Chicago as possible. And what that typically means is we hardly ever talk about Chicago. You know, not to speak ill of the shows that are on TV that take place in Chicago, that are filmed in Chicago, because they do great things for our city. But a lot of them, both from the past and current shows, you know, it's everyone's talking about pizza and hot dogs and Cubs or Sox and Lakeshore Drive. And it's like, you know what? Let's just be people who live in Chicago and work in Chicago and have the Midwest sensibility. And if we have the opportunity to make a reference that is locally based, great. But it's not, you know, a bunch of guys sitting around talking about, you know, which expressway to take.
Either of you have any concerns at some point, Dick Wolf, who is on a roll with the Chicago
series,
we're
joining
Chicago
the
Law,
Dick Wolf.
And you're going to Chicago radio or Chicago media at some point in his empire?
No, we're gonna elbow our way into the Dick Wolf universe. It's going to be illegal. It won't matter. We won't get permission, but we're just going to start talking on our series about, like, oh, did you hear about that airplane that crashed into the L yesterday? That's crazy, but we were definitely there for it.
That's what you should do. Maybe is like be subversive, be like the announcer of Law and Order. You know, do the criminal whatever
yep.
they do to announce their shows, like mm-hmm. in the criminal justice system or whatever. You know, substitute for that guy. And I met him, by the way, Stephen, who was around when he surfaced when he did the Law and Order 20th anniversary here in New York at Chelsea Piers when they were doing their 20th season.
Yep.
So yeah.
Yeah, we'll try and get a crossover episode going. I don't know if it'll work, but maybe we can. You know, kill one of our characters and then set fire to the building and see if we can't get like a 3-episode crossover going.
What I'd really like to do is anytime a scene has a newspaper in it, I'd like all the headlines to be ripped from Law & Order SVU and Chicago PD episodes. So the headlines would match up with the current seasons of those shows.
It'd be great.
All right, Dick Wolf, you got the challenge. You and your crew answer it. We have Gospel from the Jam, Jim Codger and Chris Penlock. They're the co-stars, the co-creators, and the executive producers. They are live from the Windy City this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, as are you, Simon Applebaum, with you live from New York. Delighted you're with us. Happy Passover third day to all of our Jewish listeners. You have a question or comment for Jim and Chris? Well, use the phone and use your fingers and use your voice ultimately. Number to use, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name, just 1025, and remember our good friend from Philadelphia, already in the room. So join them. The party is great. Coming up Friday on Smart Beat Televised, we will have two Broadway producers who now have Broadway HD running on Apple TV and Chromecast, the new service that gives you the best of Broadway and a whole lot more. Producers Bonnie Conley and Stuart Lane will join us. Also joining us, rescheduled from today, Rachel Blanchard and Priscilla Faya. They are the co-stars of the popular new DirecTV and AT&T U-verse audience network program, You, Me, Her, billed as TV First Comedy, romantic comedy. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here, and exclusive on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Speaking of people, I think Kathy Jimmy, who's your co-star, has been on one of the L&O, one of the Chicago shows. What's it like working with her? She plays, I believe, the head of the radio station.
Yeah, she plays the program director, our boss, and she's fantastic. The NYTVF was really fantastic in getting her involved and bringing her into the show, and she was really great to work with, a lot of fun. She worked really hard, really fast, because we had her for about 6 days in Chicago, and we had to sort of block shoot everything that her character's in, and she was fantastic. And
very, very generous, and very – it was funny. There was one night where she was insistent on taking the cast out, where she was like, let's go. Let's not eat this dinner. Let's go out. Like, tell me what the nicest restaurant is, and I'm taking everyone there. And I'm like, Kathy, it's 3:30 in the morning. Nothing is open. She's like, oh, okay. Well, tomorrow then.
Well, yeah, and her solution to that was the next day she bought Starbucks for the whole cast.
Yeah.
Which coffee was what we needed. So it was perfect.
And arguably more expensive than a dinner would have been. So, no, but she was absolutely great to work with. She was in and out in you know, a few days. Because it's indie television, our schedule was very abridged, very quick. You know, we're shooting overnight. We're doing the whole thing in 12 days. We're shooting 130 pages or something like that in 12 nights. So yeah, it was a whirlwind, but she was a trooper.
Speaking of nights, both of you play on-air personalities on the night shift. And in the episode, when we start seeing you, you're both, it looks like you have ambition to become the top stars at the jams. Is that a fair assumption?
That is a very fair assumption, yes.
And Jim, I'll have you. Well, Chris, I'll have you first, and Jim. What are the machinations at the, because it seems like you have the sports star, the entertainment critic, the morning show host, and the drive time host, and it seems that all of them all want to be something that they're not, something bigger than what they are.
Yeah, and I think that the impetus for that sort of storyline was both Jim and I, in real life, our feelings here in Chicago, feeling like, you know, we feel like we have a really great thing, we feel like we have a great chemistry together, and we really want to find some success in that. And so really, the JJ and Fitzy as characters fighting from this overnight time slot where maybe not a lot of people are paying attention to them, but they really believe in themselves and they really believe that they're great. And they see this guy who's been the number one morning show host for 18, 19 years in Chicago. And a window of opportunity opens up for them where there might be a slim chance on a cold day that they would get the morning show. And it's just about these two guys who really believe in themselves and are really struggling and fighting for that opportunity while everyone else around them is doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. We have a phone call, Jim and Chris. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, Simon. It's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Hi, Rick. Great to have you this Monday afternoon. You're on the line with Jim and Chris from the Jams. Go for it.
Hey, guys. First, I wanted to say congratulations. I actually saw you guys up in New York when you actually premiered at the New York Television Festival. So it was great to see you guys again because I recognized you guys just from like walking around and being at the different events and such. And but my big question is, like, is there anything that you would do differently, like maybe to get where you are now faster? Like, do you think that some of doing the YouTube stuff was a waste of time or not? Like, would you just jump right to doing a pilot like you did? Or, anything that you would basically do differently?
Well, thanks, Rick. It is the weirdest, it is the most baffling question. You're not the first to ask it. When you look backwards through time, you can draw the straight line that says, yeah, all we have to do is make a web series, submit that web series to the NYTVF, have that web series win the Orchards development deal, then make sure we film four episodes, make sure we get this person to do it, make sure it performs well on iTunes and Netflix, and then we'll have seven seasons of a TV show. And when you look backwards, of course that's how you do it. But I cannot tell you how many false starts there have been, how many ideas that don't pan out, how many you know, scripts we wrote or web series that we did film or things that, I mean, the path from where you are to where you're going is often as baffling as possible in forward motion. So I would just say, keep doing stuff. The only thing that we did that was not negotiable was, listen, we're going to do this web series, and then we're going to do the next thing, and then we're going to do the next thing. I mean, in the 3 months that we were editing The Jams, I'm like, The Jams is dead. No one will ever see it. It's dead. It's dead. Let's write the next thing. Let's go to the next thing. I mean, just keep pushing the pile moving forward, and then have faith that something else, something that you've planted will come to fruition.
And I think, too, you being at the festival, which is fantastic, you know, things like the New York Television Festival are places that offer the opportunity to, you know, because yes, you hear about the development deals that come out of there, but what you don't hear about is the fact that while you're at that festival, you can sit down and chat with people from networks, from agencies, people that are in development, people that are in production, and there's events like that all over the country. But the NYTVF, what's so great about it is you have the opportunity to get one-on-one time with these people, and that, I think, was a big difference maker for us. The development deal aside, but being able to sit there and talk to people about our work and about our interests and our goals that really helped us shape where we wanted the show to go.
Awesome. Well, thanks for the insight, and definitely going to be following you guys, hopefully for years to come, man. So best wishes.
Thank
good
you
luck.
So much. Thank you
absolutely.
So much.
Absolutely. And thanks, Simon.
You are right over. Great time. Thanks for the comment, the question. Take care. We're going to have a good friend from Philadelphia here on Tomorrow We Tell Us. You know, Chicago has a wonderful, rich history and legacy of great media personalities. Paul Harvey, the newscaster commentator for years and decades. Dave Garraway, the first host of the Today Show. Studs Terkel, the wonderful media star and philosopher. Herb Kupchinet, the great Chicago interviewer, newspaper person. Did you look at spoofing some of these great media people, radio people in Chicago in the series at all?
We weren't trying to at all outwardly spoof anyone, but obviously when you have these individuals, like even like a Howard Stern, not necessarily Chicago, but these radio people with these gigantic personalities that sort of do things their own way and become number one and have no reservations about it. That was sort of the thing that excited us is, well, what if we create this guy who is going to do whatever he wants no matter what, but for whatever reason, he'll always come out on top because he's just so great at what he does. That's where the character of Casey sort of started.
And Dave Pasquese, who is a Chicago legend in his own right, really sort of takes Casey and in a way he's indirectly spoofing everyone. I mean, he's got such a firm handle on the egotistical, the hotshot number one guy that, you know, we've had seven different people ask if we're spoofing seven different people. And it's like, no, it's its own thing. But the fact that many people can see many different references in it, we think is promising.
Jim, what was the role of The Orchard, the independent production company, in putting this together?
Yeah, so when we were at the festival in 2014, The Orchard, we pitched The Orchard. So The Orchard saw the original web series, and they were looking to do their first independent television series. So The Orchard, we sat down, we had a conversation with them. They loved the web series. We talked about where it could go. And now they do a lot of acquisitions. Like they're at Sundance a lot. They're doing a lot of film acquisitions. But this was their first attempt at original television. So it was really exciting, to be honest. In a way, it felt like the stars were aligning. It was The Orchard's first individually funded production. It was the NYTVF production's first thing that they produced, and it was our first thing. So we have, even though it was a three-headed beast, it was like everyone sort of had the same experience going forward, that this was this new exciting thing that for everyone we were equally invested in. It was very cool.
Mm-hmm. What will you know when do you get another season? Any timetable that you've got or a deadline you've got as to when you get the go-ahead or when you know whether you get a second season or not?
There's no timetable. It comes out on Netflix this Saturday, which will then Netflix and Amazon and PlayStation and Xbox. So as of Saturday, it will be on all of the things.
Right. And so our big goal is for as many people to watch it and love it and tell their friends to watch it and love it and their families, so that the more and more people watch it, obviously the more hope and likelihood there would be that we'll have the opportunity to do more, which is the ultimate goal and the ultimate dream for us, of course.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, before we go, how cool was it to have the show premiere earlier this month live in Chicago and have the person showcasing it be Eric Ferguson, who in actuality is the number one morning radio personality right now in that neck of the woods?
It was unbelievable. It was actually sort of this weird meta moment where we had a guy who's the best in Chicago sitting there watching this show spoofing a guy who's the best in Chicago. So it was really exciting and it was fantastic. And he was great. And he was really wonderful on the panel. We did a panel after the screening and he moderated that and had some really great questions and really guided it well. And it was just really exciting and very cool. And then ultimately the best part of it was to see a person who has reached the top of the mountain in radio say to us that he really enjoyed it and he thought it was funny and was excited about it. That was the most exciting part.
For those outside Chicago, Eric is on 101.9 The Mix, The series, The Jams, takes place at 101.7, The Jams, J-A-M-Z. And that series will premiere this Friday on Netflix, on Amazon, on smart TV sets, and smart TV devices like Roku, Google Chromecast, and Amazon Fire TV. We should point out that Amazon and Amazon Fire TV are Audible.com, which is the sponsor of this program. That's our big disclaimer. Check your local listings at Netflix and Amazon and so forth when The Jam will pop up. And for more details about both The Jams and the work of the New York Television Festival, here's where you go online, www.nytbf.com. That's www.nytbf.com. And we'll see where The Jams goes from there. Jim Cosgrove, Chris Petlak, the co-stars, creators, and executive producers of The Jams, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on the early success so far, and hopefully a great and long run in store, not only for you, but the radio station that you showcase.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You're welcome, both of you. Have a great break the rest of the week. And by the way, give all our best to everybody in Chicago.
Yes, yes, we will. And you say hello to everybody everywhere.
Okay, you got it. Hello, everybody everywhere. At least those of us on Blog Talk Radio. Gentlemen, take care.
Take care.
All right, thank you.
Jim Cosgrove, Chris Petlak, joining us live from Chicago. And again, we had earlier Suzanne Beard, the director of The Night Manager, joining us live from Copenhagen, Denmark. Thank all of them for a wonderful hour, this last hour right here on Blog Talk Radio. And thank all of you for listening. Coming up Friday on Smart Retail Live, the Broadway producers behind the new service Broadway HD, which you can get right now on Apple TV and Chromecast, Bonnie Connolly and Stuart Lane. Also, originally supposed to be on today, but rescheduled to Friday, the co-stars of the new DirecTV and AT&T Universe Audience Network series, You, Me, Her, Rachel Blanchard, and Priscilla Fire. If you came in late on the program or you want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And check out our podcasts. They're available 24/7 at iTunes.com and on the new iTunes podcast app of Apple TV 2.0. Now you can watch and hear our program and other Blog Talk Radio shows and podcasts at Apple TV. Just use the iTunes podcast app. We love hearing from you, so email me. What do you think about today's program and our guests? And what's your thoughts on where TV is at and where it's going? You just email simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and your email address and your mailing address. Don't forget, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia question of the week. And if you're first with the correct answer this week, you can get Nobody Dies in Hollywood, the novel by John Wilder, published by Falcony 7. Remember, you can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter at my own hashtag at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. However you communicate, we love it because what you say matters. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants, not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio. Our production associates are Amy DeMexico and Candace Williams. Amy Toth, the Blog Talk Radio's general manager, the creator and chief executive of this very enterprise, is Mr. Alan Levy. Tomorrow Retail Live is brought to you today by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information, and an Amazon company. But Tomorrow Retail Live, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. If you're celebrating Passover, have a great rest of your Passover season. We'll be back on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where? Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.